Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. 12 after, I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. You're going to be glad you're with me because we got a new friend. We got Philip Spry back on the show, or on the show, I should say. The first time, Philip is, he and his wife Lynn are business owners, just like you, just like me. And but Philip's also got another part of history I want to tell you a little bit about. He's a veteran, of the Army. He has he served in both of the Iraq wars, and for that we appreciate his service for that. He and his wife have also written a book, 19 Ways to Survive: Small Business Strategies for a Tough Economy. Philip Spry, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on.
It's good to have you here, and thank you for your service, sir.
I appreciate it, and thank you for yours.
Well,
and your sons.
I appreciate that. Philip, a few years ago, when things were going pretty well, you and your wife bought a computer store.
Yeah, we sure did.
And how long was it before you looked at each other and said, I know what we were feeling, but what were we thinking?
That's really funny. Yeah, no, that is pretty much what happened. After about 6 months, the real estate market in Phoenix just started tanking. And think about it. Back then in 2006, everybody was used to making 30 to 40% yearly on their property. Banks would loan to anybody.
It's called rock and roll.
Yeah. Things were great. So everybody was riding this high and this euphoria. And what happened? Well, the real estate market crashed, and people that were taking home equity loans of, you know, $50,000, who had just nothing but money to spend on $4,000 computers, well, they didn't have any money anymore.
Right.
So my wife and I looked at each other and said, wow, what did we just do? Are we dead? I mean, did we just sink a ton of money into a business that is not sustainable in this economy? And, you know, we looked at each other and we said, we're going to make this work. We're going to make this work. And, you know, and in the course of a year, we had completely turned things around. We've expanded. We're doing great. We have more stores than we had before. Everything is just going wonderfully.
How many stores do you have?
We have two now, and we're about to open our third.
Wow, congratulations.
So
how did you do this?
We listened to other people. Honestly, you know, you're a small business person, and you're so used to saying, I'm independent. I'm doing it on my own. I don't need anybody else. You know, we're all a little bit iconoclastic when we go into business. Well, we looked at each other and said, we need to know what we're doing wrong, and we don't have time for pride, you know?
Say that. I wish you to say that again. I'll tell you why, Philip. So many, you said something about earlier about we think we know what we're doing, but I think part of the problem is when we don't know what we're doing, we're too prideful and have too much ego, especially men, to admit to other people enough to ask a question.
Absolutely.
Because we think we're supposed to know the answer, and if people find out we don't, they think we're either dumb or uncompetitive, and I'll tell you, that's the attitude to failure.
Absolutely. And honestly, if we'd gone that direction, we would have failed.
Yeah.
Because there were things that we just didn't know. And the thing is, you know, running a small business is not like working in the corporate environment. And my wife and I both had, you know, many years of experience in management in the corporate world. It does not translate. There are things that you can use, yeah, that's true. But when you go to the small business world, there are differences. Like, as an example, in the business world, in the corporate world, if you want to get rid of somebody who's just not doing their job, it's a huge, long process. I mean, you're documenting and everything like that. And one of the things that we realized as small business owners is, you know what? If they don't care enough to keep their job, they're gone. You just have to get rid of people.
Right.
And it's got to be dispassionate, and it's got to be quick. And you've got to cut out that cancer before it infects the other few people that you have in the business.
You really have to have that attitude with everything.
Yep.
Not just people. Of course. The truth is, let's be real about this, Philip. When people become part of our company as employees, over time they become like family.
Yes, they do.
And it's not easy to cut someone loose when they've been a good employee for a long time and then all of a sudden things change.
No, but that is true.
So you're saying to do it, but you're not saying it's easy. I know you know better than that.
Oh, no. Here's the thing. I had one guy, and he was a good friend. I cared about him. I cared about his wife. I cared about his children. But his job was not sustainable with what he was doing.
Yeah.
And we talked about it. It wasn't like, you know, it was, this wasn't an easy decision. This is one of the ones that my wife and I agonized over, but it doesn't matter. I mean, the rest of the company is dependent on making sure that you're profitable, and you can't be profitable if people all aren't working together.
What are some of the other hard decisions you have to make?
Changing process. That's a big one. But sort of.
Wait a minute. I love this process.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. You can't say that just because it worked before, it's going to keep on working. And that's the big thing.
That's the definition of insanity, isn't it?
What's that?
That's the definition of insanity, isn't it?
Yeah. Doing the same thing over and over and expecting the same results.
Yeah.
Or different results.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, in our case, you know, we had a computer store where everything was just going great. We were selling high-end computer systems. We were selling home entertainment systems. Everybody had lots of money. Well, when the money dried up, we still had those systems. So what do we do? I mean, you obviously have to change your business. And the thing is, we get so invested in the way things run because if they're successful, we don't want to change them. But the problem is you have to. And this advice is what we went and got from other business owners, and this is where the book came from. We went and talked to other business owners, and we said, okay, here's our situation. Do you have any advice? And as I said earlier, you don't have time for pride. You have to just ask these questions. And what we found is that the other business owners who were successful, who'd been doing this for 10, 15, 20 years, they said, oh, yeah, let me tell you the story of when. And they would tell us stories about
how
they were
in this. A failure story of some kind.
Oh, yeah. Well, we all have the failure stories.
Yeah.
Everybody, you know what? I don't trust people who say that they're unblemished success. I just
right.
don't, you know? It doesn't exist. I mean, we've made some catastrophic failures, but by the same token, we learn from them. And, you know, like you've probably heard before, you can't learn to ride a bike from reading a book. You have to actually get up there, and you will fall. So you have to fall as quickly as you can so you can get up and learn and try again. And that's what we did. So we took the advice from these really wise people, and it worked. It just flat out worked.
What did they tell you? What was the most important thing they told you?
Well, let's see. I know that one of the big ones was how you pay. They said, make sure you pay your employees first. As business owners, it's kind of fun to look at that gigantic bank account when everything's going well.
Mm-hmm.
But the first thing you have to always pay is your employees. The second thing you always pay is the government. And the third person you pay is yourself.
Well, one thing you can never do is look at all that money in the account and think it's yours.
Exactly, because it's not
yours. In fact, more than likely, more times than not, in too many small businesses, not only what is there not yours, but what's not there is going to have to come from you.
That's absolutely, absolutely true. Absolutely true. The other thing they told us was make sure you get rid of anything that isn't actually driving your business forward, which is one of those things you kind of get used to having, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The little things, the luxuries in business.
Right. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Philip Spry, folks, real-life small business story here from somebody who's been there and done that. I hope you're listening. He and his wife, Lynn, own the business. They also wrote the book, 19 Ways to Survive. 20 after. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.